I don't care. I just believe what I'm told.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 7th of October, 2014, coming to you from the slightly tarnished GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, where with Adolf Hitler we say, how fortunate for leaders that men don't think. And here from Houston, Texas, once again, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams.
Good evening, Barris Bartlett. How are you today, my friend?
I am so well, thanks, Mike. I'm just on the top of my game. It's rainy here. It's one of those beautiful, fresh mornings with, you know, rain out. And, yeah.
Those Tennessee mornings of rain. Yeah, I remember them well. Although you're in Middle Tennessee, and this, of course, East Tennessee is the better part of Tennessee. But you know, at least you're in Tennessee.
I just scrape in, do I? Michael, this is officially the second week of our pledge drive. We didn't mention it too much last week because it was only the second day of the month. But how is our pledge drive going, friend?
Well, I think it got off to a very slow start the first day. I think Jeff was in a bit of shell shock because I think nobody answered their phone on the first day.
I thought that was part of the game. I thought it was like, you know, no one really answers. I thought everyone should answer on the third ring.
I think that it has
The third phone call ring.
Yeah, the third phone call, yes. Oh, Jeff would be in heaven if everybody answered on the third ring. I feel like Popeye the Sailor Man this morning. I think that part of our group may be just deliberately taunting Brother Jeff, just seeing how he reacts to no response from them whatsoever. But it did get off the ground, and we are off and running. We're trying to, again, to make up the losses that we had in the earlier part of the year of about $1,400 in a month on our monthly gifts. These all are a result not of anybody becoming weary of giving or becoming disinterested or disenchanted with the Gospel Revolution. These are people who were absolutely brokenhearted to have to call in and let us know that they just had to discontinue their monthly contribution, at least for the time. So I think we've had one or two of those that have come back, but we still need to recover these funds of $1,400 a month.
Well, I was just thinking, now, last month, or last pledge drive, not last month, but last pledge drive, how do we say this? I donated my winnings back to the team.
Yes, you did.
They weren't huge winnings, but they were there, my salary. And I think that this month I'm going to do something again. And what I want to do this month, I think, is double my pledge, my monthly giving. Now, I'm not – say that again. I want to hear that and play it over to myself.
Wonderful, wonderful,
are you? Amen. Yeah, I've been given $10 a month into the ministry, and I think it's time for me to make that 20. Now, I know for some of you people, that's like, he's given what? Yeah, but remember, I don't have any income. The only income I get is from the Gospel Revolution. And it's there. But I think that, you know, we've easily got 1,000 people listening to us between Facebook and this show. More. I know it's more than that, but but like I say, we've easily got 1,000 people. If they all just up their monthlies by $1, just by $1, that'd be another $1,000 a month that we could put towards getting the gospel out to Burma and Africa and other places.
Yes.
We could put that money a little bit more towards getting you around the USA. More people would get to hear you, the gospel. And it's all really centered around getting this gospel out, isn't it?
Yeah, one of my dreams has been to be able to go to someplace in the nation and do some advertising before we get there and get rather, you know, some inexpensive meeting hall someplace where we could get, you know, even if it's just a handful of people, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people or something to turn out with a little bit of advertising, because we know the impact. Once people hear this and they've had the opportunity to ask their questions, the impact is profound. I do not know of anyone who, once they've heard the gospel, are ever the same. Even our detractors, I mean, they're never the same.
Exactly. There are some bells you can't unring and some truths you can't unhear.
Exactly. I remember the very first time that I heard a little bit of something about grace. And even though everything I heard about it was negative, there was something that got my attention.
I guess that was the start of the journey for you.
It definitely piqued my interest as to what grace is, this, and why was something about grace so negative. I couldn't place the two things together in my brain. But obviously it was, because my pastor, whom I trusted with all my heart, definitely seemed to think that this teaching on grace had nothing to do with the redemption of the world at all, but that this teaching on grace and what it does for believers just seemed to be something that was terribly, terribly dangerous in his mind.
Well, I'm going to challenge all of our people to think of a sum which to you is a nothing sum. I mean, $1 is, I mean, or $2, or is it 3 for you, or 5, or 50, or whatever it is that for you is, hey, that's not going to make a bit of difference to me. But let me tell you, it's going to make a big difference to us. And I am going to go for, I want to see at least 100 people out of that 1,000 that we've got as a minimum. I want to see at least that many. I'm going to double mine, and I'm challenging you to not to double it, only to put yours up by something you will never, ever miss. What about just by the price of an ice cream or something like that? It'll make all the difference when Mong gets to Burma, and as Moses Garda continues to push the gospel out over those Muslim and Catholic radio stations in Kenya, every little bit is going to help more people get reached with this amazing, freeing gospel. And for those of you who aren't into money at all, you know, you're the kind of people who believe that you can live on the fruits of love or whatever. My mind is going rabid with old jokes.
I heard a couple of them in there already.
Yeah, really. Oh, dear. There are some people who do not have money to give. There are college kids that listen to us. There are widows that listen to us. There are people who are just in hard-pressed situations that listen to us. And I'm going to invite you to look for another way to give into this gospel. Namely, you can tell, just ring our number. Just ring this number, 234 in the US, 234-56-40971, and leave a message for the show and just tell us, what has the gospel done for you? Mm-hmm. What's happened in your life as a result of hearing this bell that you can't unring? Some people maybe want to send us some art. And I'm going to mention a couple of those people who are doing a brilliant job on our Facebook page. And art covers a lot of things, mate, doesn't it? I mean, art can be just artwork, or it can be poetry, or it can be a song. Robert May, oh, bless his heart, Robert May has written music that I just keep wanting to play every week because it's so darn good. So whatever your gift is, Hey, listen to this. This is our new jingle, Mike. Have a listen to this, mate.
Did you put it in the paper? Did you write it down in stone? Did you send a short text message or fax it from your home? Did you put it on a billboard? Make a little sign? Email or to Facebook? Any way is fine. Gotta get out the gospel. Gotta get out the gospel.
That was Mel Martin. Mike, what do you make of that?
Well, you asked, and you did receive, didn't you?
I sure did. And he's got another one in the works that is, I think he said he's got one about questions. You know how questions are the lifeblood of the gospel revolution. But he's making me work for my money. He won't give me the new one until I've presented the old one. So now it's back to you, Mel Martin. It's a in this tennis match, the ball's in your court.
One thing that I want to emphasize, too, at this point, we're making appeals for people to give first time, one time monthly, increase your monthly. But I do not want to pass up the chance to just absolutely express the greatest of gratitude, not only gratitude, but acknowledge those who do in extraordinary ways support the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. Goodness gracious, we've got some folks out there that are just champions of grace, and they love this message so much. And this past time when we had the situation with Moses Gata in Kenya and the surgery that he had to go through, we got two responses that were major responses to that, and they were very glad to the way they heard it was about on the PowerCast. They would not have known about it had it not been for the comments that we made about it on the PowerCast. In both of those situations, Barris, they expressed the need to communicate to me just how much they love this, how much they love this gospel, and that they are completely dedicated to it. And they have expressed the fact that they are in both of these cases and in many, many other cases also. But we, I don't want to let an opportunity pass by for those that, you know, that every time that this withdrawal comes on your credit card, you have to check and make sure that your finances are okay. And those of you that do step up to these one-time gifts when something like this happens, we really do thank you from the bottom of our hearts. My gosh, thank you so much. Everything's changing with the ministry, and I think we'll be able to have a lot more outreach than what we've had to this point. So thank you, thank you, thank you, guys.
Now, when you hear Jeff call you on the phone, remember this too, that you can give $10 a month two ways. You can give $10 a month, or you can make the whole $120, $10 by 12 months in one fell swoop, and sure, just you're in there. And there's many ways to skin a cat. There's many ways to help the gospel get out. So if you want to give and can't think of quite how to make it happen, why don't you call Jeff Williams. Why don't you call Mike Robertson? Oh, Mike Robertson.
That's a good one.
That's got a better ring. Why don't you call Jeff Robertson? His number appears at the end of this show several times. We'll probably mention it. And tell him, I'd like to give. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to. So, Michael, let's listen to the people who have given into the gospel this pledge drive so far.
Yes, Jeff, give us that list, please.
All right, Mike. Let's start with Dale Van Sickle. He's in the Villages right across the lake here from me in Florida. And we also have Jan Heller, and she's in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Arthur Wirch, and he's in Brandon, Manitoba, up in Canada. Then we have Pastors Ted and Pat Winsett in Decatur, Alabama. We have Brad and Holly Wilson in Queen Creek, Arizona. That's in the Phoenix area. We have Deidre Simpson. She is in Kelowna, British Columbia. And then we have Phyllis Schultz. She's in Vernon, British Columbia. Pep Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Robert Collier in Longview, Texas. Tom and Linda Wilby in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Lee Dick in Kelowna, British Columbia. We have an anonymous person in Edmonton, Alberta. And then, of course, we have Don and Laura Bartlett, a.k.a. Barris Bartlett and Laura. That'd be you. And then we got good old Greg Savoy in Allen, Texas. That's in the Dallas area. And that rounds out the list. We've had a lot of people who just haven't answered their phone in the past week. I'll eventually get them to answer, though. I know they'll eventually pick up.
We're going to buy a new phone and give it a new number so that people don't know who it is when you're ringing, mate.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody, though, that we need a good $1,400 in new monthly pledges to make up for the folks who ran into financial problems. And we're only at $140, so we're only at one-tenth of that so far. So I've got a lot of work to do.
Well, no one does it like you, Jeff, and we are so grateful for that. Hey, so good to hear from you, mate. How are things down in Florida? Going well for you?
Yeah, things are doing well here. I'm doing all right.
Well, we sure appreciate what you're doing for the GR, mate. We really, really appreciate it, and thanks for everything you do for us.
Same here. You too, Barris. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Michael, we have got some of the people with the biggest hearts in the world, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we really do, and thank you guys again. You never fail. We should not expect anything else but successful pledge drives because you guys just never fail. It really is amazing. Thank you so very much.
Michael, this week we got an email from Moses, or rather you got an email from Moses. You got a couple of emails. He gave you a song. He sent you a song.
Yes, he did.
I loved it. We're going to play it. Hey, have a listen to the song he sent you. Just here's a snatch, but I'm going to play the whole thing over this show because it is so hot.
It is good.
Called One Drop by Plum, P-L-U-M-B.
Just one drop.
Oh, man, that song's hot. I mean, is that hot or is that hot, Mike? I mean, that's a nice gift.
It is a nice gift. And talking about being able to give things that may not be monetary, Moses certainly gave me a great gift. You know, he is in a position to where that he's not able to send money. We don't ask them for money. In fact, they don't ask us for money. But, boy, what a wonderful thing to do to say thank you to someone. To select a song, to know that he and Liz and the boys picked this song out for me and really for everybody in the Gospel Revolution because they're saying thanks for the help that they got through this horrible situation that they were in.
So here is the letter that Moses wrote. He said, "How are you? How is Audrey and King Corbin?" King Corbin, isn't it? "Pass our love on to them. All is well with myself, Liz, and the boys. My stay in hospital was quite fantastic and with a mission. When I regained consciousness, I started telling some patients about the gospel of grace and peace."
I don't doubt that at all.
I reckon. "I first of all listened to their story of where they have come from, and I discovered that many were living in guilt. Now, family, can I – I didn't think of this before I just read that sentence. That is a great place to start with people, to listen to them
first."
Yes.
Yeah, it did the same thing to me, Barris, as you were reading. A lot of people wonder, how do I share this gospel? Listen to them first. Ask them about their story. People aren't going to come across to you with this story of, 30 years of blissful Christian service. They got a story to tell. So listen, ask them questions.
Some of these African countries have a higher population of professing Christians than America does. Mm-hmm. It's largely Pentecostalism, word of faith, that has made inroads into Africa, although there are other denominations extremely strongly represented. And remember, he's in a hospital here. And remember the line that you'll get from the Word of Faith movement, that if you're sick, then you're in sin. And then I'm just going to go ahead and read the rest of this. They were living in guilt. They actually said that God is punishing them with sickness. Others believed Satan is doing the work. They couldn't figure it out. Is this God or is it Satan? I mean, if you can't figure out whether it's God or Satan, your religion is in a mess of trouble. They had all manner of guilt and condemnation all installed in their head by their man of God in the church. I had a great time explaining to them, this is bread for Moses. It's bread for him. God. You remember when those 12 representatives went into the promised land and they came back and 10 said, oh, it's full of giants. And 2 said, it's bread for us. We can do this in our sleep. Well, this is bread for Moses. I had a good time explaining to them about their righteousness and that God is not angry with them or punishing them for the wrong they did. The guys were very happy and they wanted me to be always around them. When the nurses and doctors heard about what I was doing, they too liked it so much and were asking me questions about the gospel and the Bible, and I explained as well as I could. I became the talk of the hospital. I bet you did, Moses, become the talk of the hospital. Oh, they're going to be talking about you for years to come, mate. The people who are still working there are going to be saying, oh, man, do you remember that Moses guy?
Exactly.
I showed them your book, 1, The Gospel According to Mike, and many are in need of it. Some are now in possession of your teachings in CD forms. I played the video of your teachings, The Fruits of Righteousness, in the hospital TV room for three solid days, in which doctors, nurses, and some patients already have the copies of the same teaching. They never wanted me to leave the hospital. Well, what did we do?
You didn't want him to leave either.
Why did we stick our hands in there? Yeah, I know. Why did we stick our hands in our pockets for if he didn't want to leave? They'd never wanted me to leave the hospital. They took my phone number so that I'll be directing them to where we can meet for our teachings. Mm. All in all, it was a great stay in the hospital and it bore fruit, as it was a good opportunity to let many people become aware of the unconditional love of God. I was invited back there to go and teach the good news anytime, and the door is open for me. It was all for a good cause. Thanks a million, Papa. He calls you Papa. For your assistance, yes. Always. Love you, Moses. Oh, man.
Goodness gracious, you know.
You got goosebumps yet, Mike?
Well, I've had goosebumps ever since Moses has come into our lives. To have someone who has never asked us for funds to do so much with so little, it really is quite amazing. And yes, I'm Papa Mike. And I don't shun the title whatsoever. It is so much better than Reverend. Declares a lot more respect as far as I'm concerned for somebody to call me Papa Mike. Goodness, thank you so much, Moses. I almost feel like saying thank you for having a brain tumor, you know. So, we know that this was neither God, neither was it the devil. It was just an event that happened. And then the wonderful thing of the people in the Gospel Revolution stepping up to to free him from the prison, which prison, it was kind of like Paul being in prison, is from that prison that he Paul brought to us even to this day, so much of the gospel as we know it. And Moses is,
well, not just for Moses, but for Elizabeth too, who had to care for him.
Exactly. And don't forget also Elizabeth does more than just be there so Moses can do this. Do you realize that she is the one who was doing the translations for the radio show when Moses got sick? She has also been one of them that has taught in the school of the scriptures and still does. Both of them are very, very much teaching and involved in sharing and spreading the gospel there in Kenya. Now, or I should say from Kenya, because from where they are, there are five countries being affected by our investment into this area.
Just one drop of your love, a single ray of sun, just one thing to change the world. It's just you and me, starting with a dream and giving it all we've got. Only takes one drop.
Michael, we're having a ball on Facebook at the moment. We've got the best people on our Facebook page, friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. And also, don't forget, we've got a Facebook private group. Now, just in case you're wondering, the reason we have a private group is because there are some things you don't actually want to appear on your newsfeed or on your timeline. And what goes into a public group on Facebook goes onto your timeline. The private group doesn't go into your timeline, so we just put stuff in the private group that doesn't actually make it to the public group. Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution is our public group, and our private group is called Gospel Revolution Private Group. How could it be even any simpler? Now, this week, mate, some lovely stuff. Steve Child is writing some, he's putting out some great artwork. I don't know if he's doing it himself or he's just out there scavenging, but he is putting some great artwork out. Thank you, Steve, for that. Marcel Rose also is putting out some incredible artwork. And plus, Marcel has a new website. It's a Dutch language website of the Gospel Revolution. It's at HTTP // for the English speaking people. It's Evangeliere Revolutie. .blog.com. I can't say that properly in English. It's a Dutch gospel of grace and peace blog. Or, if you prefer, it's www.afahelirerolutsi.com.
I was just reading along here with you, Barris, and this is Dutch gospel of grace and peace blog. My goodness. How about that? You know, there was great reformations of Christianity have come through the Dutch on more than one occasion. Mm. So these people have tried to think their way through a whole lot of things, and so I'm thinking that the gospel may do pretty good here.
Well, it's really interesting because Holland is largely a Catholic country, and yet it was the one country to which reformers of every stripe fled because they knew that the Dutch were not like, say, the Spanish or Portuguese or even the English. When the English took over all the Catholic funds and monasteries and churches and cathedrals, when they just holus bolus stole them off the Roman Catholics, they started killing Catholics. The Dutch, I don't know what it is about them. These people have been so instrumental in spreading the word of God. It'd be difficult, in fact, to overestimate it. That's Steve and Marcel, and my favorite quote this week came from Robert May on our Facebook page. He said, one of the differences between us and Jesus was that he was born under the law. We just thought that we were.
That's good. Yeah.
Now, here is, I don't know what to say about this quote, Michael, so I'm going to let you say it. This is about as far out that a fella called Gavin Potter. This page is as hideous and disgusting as they come. Mr. Williams, once upon a time, you preached the true gospel. Your testimony, the death of a homosexual, led both Liberace and Rock Hudson to the Lord. Oh, okay. They are in heaven, and yet now you're going to hell, damning millions with your universalist heresy. It is so sad that once upon a time you believed the Bible, but now you're like Marcion, the heretic of the early church. Well, Gavin, just before Michael says his piece, and then you had the gall to ask me to friend you on Facebook, which I did, and I told you not to be a jerk because I'll have to unfriend you again. But get your history right, son. Get your history right. Marcion had nothing to do with universalism. I think you might be thinking of Origen. You might be thinking of Gregory of Nyssa or Nyssa, and you might be thinking actually of four of the five schools of theology in the first 300 years that all taught universalism. Now, we aren't universalists, but we do look back at our roots with fondness. Now, this is this page is as hideous and disgusting as they come, Mr. Williams. What do you say about that?
You know, there would have been a time I would have agreed with him. First, let me say that. Let me say that usually when you say once upon a time, you're talking about something that never was true in the first place. So. And you notice that the only two success stories he could point to is people who heard this, acted on it, and died. Because
you're cruel.
Because no one who heard it and acted on it and stayed alive are still doing it. None of them, Barris.
Well, he talks about Rock Hudson. You never knew Rock Hudson, did you, mate?
I never knew him personally, but did have contact with him in the last few days of his life.
What about Liberace? Now, there was a man. Give a man a chandelier, and he was a chandelier holder, I guess.
Had about the same contact with him in the last days of his life also. Goodness gracious, these are stories that I do remember for sure. And obviously this person is probably quite closely connected to the New Life Bible School there in Cleveland, Tennessee somehow. I can't even know who in the world would have known about these two connections. But
well, Gavin, might I say, because I don't think Michael would ever say, could I say, Gavin, that maybe only another gay person would know?
Bonehead of the day.
Now, we've got two men who heard this. The stories are that they received it and that they accepted Christ and they died. But you see, we've got to tell the other side of this story too, which is the reason that I came out about the fact that this never worked for me. If, you know, now if I'd have died soon after my testimony, people would be reveling still in that testimony.
Oh, they'd be handing the tapes
around. Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. I'd be the Pope of the delivered gay community. The problem is I lived. And I found out none of this is really true. And the other thing that we can't forget is the thing that is heartbreaking for me to have to remind people of is that I personally know several young men who believed what I had to say and believed what Gavin Potter would have told them also. And we prayed for them, guaranteeing them deliverance from this, because here I am, I'm free. So therefore, if we do the same for you, you will be free. And these few young men who basically all I could say was probably more honest than I didn't have the ability to be honest because the threat of hell hanging over my head kept me from being honest about it. But these guys, a little braver to be honest about the whole thing, still holding me in that position of being, quote, the delivered homosexual, these young men committed suicide. And you see, Gavin, I not only know of my involvement in Liberace's life and in Rock Hudson's life, but I know people who have nobody on this planet remembering who they were. I remember them. And Gavin, I know what you preach and I know what you believe. It only prepares people to die. And that very falsely. But the gospel of grace and peace prepares people to live. And Gavin, the conclusion of all this is that the good news that we're teaching and preaching is that you too are righteous and holy and perfect. Not by any of your works, but by strictly by the work of the cross. Even the same as Liberace, even the same as Rock Hudson, the same as me, same as Barris. Same as every person on planet Earth, you are perfect in the eyes of God.
Woohoo!
Gospel Revolution.
Have you heard the latest? latest videos from the Gospel Revolution? You need to.
If you're wondering why I'm not on too many PowerCasts, because I'm spending too much time on YouTube and not watching it. I'm performing videos on YouTube. And if you have not seen one of those videos, you need to go to our video channel. Just log into YouTube and type in Gospel Revolution 1, all one word, Gospel Revolution and the numeral 1. Or you can link to it from our homepage on our website, gospelrevolution.com. There's a link to our YouTube channel. So, everybody, stay in touch with us in every way. Subscribe to our newsletters and listen to our PowerCasts and watch our videos on YouTube. And we'll see you everywhere.
Winding up our Facebook roundup is the funniest post that we got all week. Michael, this is hilarious.
It is indeed.
Tasha Mack, she posted this, and have a listen to this, will you? This is a pastor, and I'm going to have to tell you because you haven't got the video. What happens is that whoever cut this video interposed this pastor, what's his name? Kearney, I think his name is, and the bleatings of goats. And here's how it turned out, mate. Have a listen to this.
Now, if you're tired of the devil stealing, if you're tired of the devil killing, if you're tired of the devil destroying your life, you must order the personal package, and you got to order it right now! I mean, you're going to hell right now, and you need to go! Answer my prayers.
What do you make of that, buddy?
I'd say if you want the complete story on this, please go and look this up. I'm sure they could Google this and go look at this video. The as much as you got out of hearing this, believe me, watching the video, there's twice the kick to it. So
there really is. And just go to Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution and scroll down until you see the Facebook video there from Tasha Mack about the funniest preacher. And if you don't find that, there's a different couple of videos. Everyone's onto this now. You can go to YouTube and just search for Screaming Preacher.
So funny.
Gospel Revolution.
Michael, this week we got an email from Mark. I have no idea who Mark is, but Mark is apparently
in Muskogee, Oklahoma, USA.
And Mark wrote, "I find the message pivotal understanding as too amazing to ignore." What is that, a message you preach?
Evidently, yes. It's kind of different from Gavin's comments, isn't it?
This is a total opposite. Oh, okay, let me read it all through. "I find the message pivotal understanding as too amazing to ignore. I remember becoming an unbeliever slash atheist after 9/11, 2001. My background runs the gamut of Christianity, finally through Calvinism and complete praetorism to unbeliever, which is what I am today. I find your message refreshing, especially in light of today's climate." Dang, could we have gotten two emails so dang opposite?
No. Well, one thing that's very nice, Barris, is that out of 100 letters that we get, we only get a couple that are of Gavin's ilk that have such things to say. 98 of those other letters are like this, people who are just so grateful to have heard, so grateful to be free, so grateful to know that they do believe in Christ, but it's not because that their belief has not initiated their redemption. It was his belief that initiated and completed their redemption. We just get the pleasure and the joy of believing without a requirement on us. So, that's the big difference between the two. You're not talking about believers and unbelievers here. In the Gospel Revolution, you're talking about people who believe for a whole different reason. And Mark, thank you so much for your message to us. We appreciate it. We always enjoy honesty and straightforwardness. That's for sure.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
We are in the middle of our series, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And let me see. This week we're doing The Doctrine of Death and Resurrection Part 2. One of us wanted to continue it last week and the other one didn't want to. And I'm not going to let you know who was who because you might throw stones. But this is going to be part of what we hope to make a cornerstone series that will be a nice companion to Gospel 101 and so forth. So we want this to be part of a series that will let people know exactly where we stand, what we believe, and why. So the seven pillars of wisdom are what, Mike?
Pillar number one is the doctrine of redemption. We've covered that really well. The second one is the doctrine of sin and forgiveness. I won't forget that one. That was a particularly good one. The doctrine of scriptures, probably one of the most important points of the gospel revolution is what are the scriptures. Pillar number four, the one we're on right now, and we covered the first part last week, the doctrine of death and resurrection. That is what the scriptures have revealed to us is this. And then the last three of those pillars that we will be covering is the doctrine of predestination. There are people who say predestination doesn't exist. Well, they're going to have to take the word right out of Paul's mouth because he did preach on predestination. Pillar number six, of course, is the doctrine of freedom. And oh my goodness, Barris, freedom. It is for freedom that we've been set free. You didn't get set free so you could become a preacher, so you could live right, so you could be nice, so you could be kind. You've been set free so you could be free. The misunderstanding about what freedom is, I see referring back to testimonies again. I thought being free was when you no longer sinned. But the misconceptions about freedom are drastic and vast around this planet. So doctrine of freedom we'll look forward to. The doctrine of fulfillment is, again, one of the cornerstones of the gospel revolution and the assertion that the fulfillment of all scripture took place through the work of the cross. And goodness, we could just, I want to go ahead and preach on all of them today, Barris, can we? Buckle your seat. We've got a 20-hour PowerCast coming to you.
Okay, well, last week we covered Isaiah 28, 14 through 19, and that was wow.
That was wow, yes. I think wow was a very good way of putting that.
This week we're going to start at 1 Corinthians 15, and so I invite you to open your Bibles. If you've got an autographed copy, that's even better. I believe you've got an autographed copy of the Bible, don't you, Michael?
Of course.
Okay. Well, we have three passages we're going to address today.
Yes, and let me also say that going through this today will give you the ability to go back and start at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, and you'll be able to see this through its context then.
1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22 we're going to read. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them who slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Verse 22 is the one that Joseph Prince read to his congregation recently, read the one line and then kind of reverse engineered the verses before it. And took, I think he said it was 1 minute and 20 seconds to completely undo the doctrine of redemption for the whole world.
Yeah, and in 1 minute and 20 seconds, he totally disproved everything that the church for the first 500 years taught. Michael, I've only got one thing to say about
yes.
that.
Yes, Barris, what would you like to say?
That takes a special gift. That's all I noticed.
And we won't say what that gift is, right, Barris?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Gospel Revolution.
Well, these verses in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, and 21. How much clearer can it be? Verse 20 and 21 before this is the whole setup for the statement. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The champion statement that is always thrown up is, of course, that's for the believer. Of course, that's for the believer. Of course, that's for the believer. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 21, there is no reference to anybody believing anything. Those who are in Christ are those who died in Christ.
Just because A belongs into a group called B, it does not mean that all of B equals A. All poodles are dogs, but not all dogs are poodles. Just because believers are referenced does not mean that unbelievers are not referenced. Does that make sense, Mike?
Exactly. Again, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, and read forward, you will see that there is no way that this is doing anything. This is the chapter that sets this apart from believers. This is the chapter in Corinthians where Paul chose to make sure that people knew that this had nothing to do with whether or not you believed. So the only place to compare this in Christ is in Adam.
Yeah.
This is where the comparison comes. So, yes, it is only those in Christ. It is absolutely correct. It's those in Christ that will be made alive, but it's the same equivalency of those who are in Adam. It's even so.
So it's not a question of whether the people in Christ shall all be made alive. It's a question of who's in Christ.
This is true. And we know who is in Christ. It's whoever was in Adam. There's no other way to look at this.
Because of those two words, even so.
Even so. And you can't take even so and say if and but or maybe. The entire Christian world teaches that everybody became sinners because of what Adam did, but you can only be in Christ if you choose to be.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read from verse 51 through to verse 57, and I'm reading out of the King Jimmy here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a church I pastored once, some joker put up on the door into the children's room where mothers would take their babies to be changed. He put this verse up. So we won't all sleep.
But we all will be changed, yeah.
Yeah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on... I'm just going to ask folks to take note of the tense or the timing. Is this future, past, or present? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes, thanks be to God is the truth. He says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And we know that he's talking about, and if we make reference back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 22, he's talking about the death that the entire human race went through. He says, but all are going to be changed. Now, we're going to be changed from that death in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, he says that this is not going to be a process. The emphasis on a long, drawn-out process in an individual's life to become holy and acceptable unto God. Folks, this is good news. This happened in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, we also know that this happened at the last trump. This is a very fascinating study, which we could go into for several PowerCasts just to help people understand the what the last trump is. Goodness gracious, when you begin to look at this...
Whenever I hear you talk about this, I remember a discussion, a conversation that took place between you and Glenn Klein, where, and I was gobsmacked because you made the point that the Mount of Olives had been split and that the trumpet had been sounded.
Yes. Yeah. Now this is a reference to the work of the cross for sure. And the sounding of the trump, we also make reference to the verses in the Old Testament about when his foot shall touch the Mount of Olives. Those verses, when I finally saw those verses, had been fulfilled at the cross. And the splitting of that mountain, I mean, Glenn Klein told me himself, he stood there with the tour guide, standing at the eastern gate, turning, looking back to the east, and the tour guide gave them a little geological history of the area and pointed out that the Mount of Olives now has a north peak and a south peak. And he said that's because sometime in geological history, there was an earthquake that divided this mountain in two. There's a road running right between it going to the places that the Bible said they would be going to after this happened. So it really, really was, as you say, a gobsmack moment for people when we begin to really understand that this – I understood it only from a scriptural context. I knew it had to be at the cross. When Glenn filled in the blanks of this, number one, being a Jewish man, this is not the first time he stood at the Eastern Gate. He's been there many times and had this history explained to him by someone who had no interest or no knowledge, really, of the cross being on the Mount of Olives, because even Christianity does not teach that. They have a place picked out where there's looks like a skull and some rocks in another area. They do not have it placed at the Mount of Olives. So all of this teaching now comes cascading down as we go through this, and the ability to place or see the revelation of the scriptures that the cross could not be any other place other than on the Mount of Olives. And, of course, the last trump. Paul's teaching in Hebrews says, "For you have not come to the sound of a trump." Paul is indicating there about this, about the trumpets being sounded ever again. He says, that's not what you've come to. And Paul made the comment that if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how will the people know what to do? Now, I heard that read for all of my life. I didn't know that the trumpet was their Morse code for telling people what God was about to do or what God wanted them to do at the moment. So they had a certain sound of the trumpet for all of the feast days, of course, that it was feast day, certain sound of the trumpet for the in gathering. And then the one, though, that they dreaded the most, Barris, was this one that there were no interruptions in the sound of the trumpet. It was one long, loud, continuous blast. That trumpet, according to the teaching of the scriptures, was blown at the cross. And the power of this, it sounded, and it said, the thing that was going to happen was that the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Oh, my. this was Judgment Day. What was the judgment? The dead are raised incorruptible. Oh, wow. This ties right into what we were talking about, the issue of judgment and people always thinking of it as something negative. I think this judgment, the sound of this trumpet, the sound of this judgment, was there a judgment that took place? Yes, the judgment was that all dead had been raised incorruptible. What a powerful, powerful thing. All of Christianity puts this off, the sound of the trumpet, puts this off until a second coming. You know, the reason they put it off to a second coming is because they cannot accept that man has now become incorruptible. They cannot accept that. And they cannot accept that because of this, of the distorted teachings that take place in churches around this world. But the fact is, folks, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the entire creation was changed. And they were changed from, what was it changed? What was the focus of this change? It was the entire human race was changed from the first Adam to the last Adam. So what's the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam? The first Adam was corruptible. The last Adam was not corruptible. And we've been raised into his incorruptible state. We became incorruptible for the same reasons that Jesus was incorruptible. He was born incorruptible, and now we have been born again incorruptible. That's what the whole shadow of Christ being incorruptible. That's why it's important for us to know that Jesus would have still been the perfect sacrifice. Now, remember, we go into the whole issue about the perfect high priest. Two things had to be perfect. The sacrifice and the high priest had to be perfect. But he had to pass through death to become the great high priest. He did not have to keep the law to become, to be the perfect sacrifice, because he was born of the Spirit of God. It was how he was born that made the difference. And, you know, when you look at the issue of even the sacrifices that they picked out, it's that they couldn't bleach part of this lamb who had a blemish on it, who had a dark spot on it someplace. They had to take how this lamb was born. However it was born determined whether or not it was a perfect, whether or not it was a worthy sacrifice or not. And same with Christ. The thing that determined whether or not Christ was the perfect sacrifice was determined by how he was born, not how he lived. Now, this of all the things that I've ever taught, Barris, grades against every emotional religious part of the human being. And then Barris, of course, in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And that is verse 53. It must happen. It absolutely must. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, oh, isn't this wonderful? He not only said that this corruptible must put on incorruption, he's saying now, when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Now let me fill in the blanks with Christianity. When this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then will Jesus have come back, killed everybody that doesn't believe, destroyed the planet, and we're all in heaven. Now, that's Christianity's, that's how Christianity would have to finish these verses to preach the doctrine they preach. So this is how Paul does it. This is how Paul says, so when this happens, when this corruption, now the funny thing is that they will all agree that they've already put on immortality, but there's not a one of them that would say they've put on incorruption. Even the believer. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Now, corruption will have put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality when this Bible prophecy is fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Is that the second coming, as they teach it? Death is swallowed up in victory. You know, we know that's about the cross. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Here's another reason that Christianity does not believe that the corruptible has put on incorruption, nor the mortal has put on immortality, because they do not believe that the issue of the law has been dealt with either. But he says, where does this get taken care of? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have become immortal. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine, Barris, what would happen to this planet if people understood they are now immortal, that they are now incorruptible? It's not possible for them to be corrupted in the eyes of God. It's possible for you to go to jail. It's possible for you to offend your mate so much they walk out on you. It's possible to rob a store. It's possible to do anything. But the fact of it is, it's not possible for any of those things to cause you to become corrupted in the eyes of God. It's all together. There is no victory if there is still sin. There is no victory if there's still law. There is no victory if we are still corruptible. This has all been done in the cross. What a powerful, powerful.
You know, it's not the people who agree with us. It's the people who question us that help us make progress. That's how we've done it since day one. What are your thoughts on what we've just been talking about? Why don't you call me on area code 234-564-0971 and let us know what you think about that. Else you can just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. That was freedom@gospelrevolution.com. What do you think about that? Okay, we're going to read now from Isaiah 25, verse 8.
Which is the prophecy that is referred to, Barris, I believe, about all of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
It is. It's, I was talking with someone this morning about, did you know where the armor of God comes from, the breastplate of righteousness? And they said, I don't care. I just think that it's all wonderful. And I said, and you don't care where it come from? Like the Bereans used to study the scriptures to see if these things were so, but you're saying, meh.
I don't care. I just believe what I'm told.
So right here in the middle of Isaiah 25, we find verse 8, and it says a curious thing for God talking to an Old Testament prophet. It says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Mm-hmm. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. He will swallow up death in victory. There we are. There is the quotation that Paul was referencing. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from faces, and the rebuke of his people.
Wait.
Do you have to go to the bathroom? What's up?
That's how Revelation quotes this.
Well, which, Revelation is inspired word of God. What's the problem?
Revelation misquotes this. That Revelation says this the way that you were just saying it. But no, let's back up again now. It does not say that God will wipe away all tears off their faces.
Well, that's what I preached at funerals. Are you telling me I stuck all those people in the ground and I did it wrong?
You did it wrong. You got to go rebury them.
Okay. I will read this carefully, and I know I'm right. He will swallow up death in victory. Huh? Am I right?
You got that part right, yes.
Thank heavens for that. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from faces. Well, got that right.
No. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces.
I bet you were a Protestant. 40,000 different brands of religion, and you've got to be disagreeable with every one of them. Come on.
I think so.
It's saying the same thing.
No, it's saying quite the opposite. And then he tells us why those tears, it's not, he doesn't say he'll wipe away all tears off their faces, leaving us with an undetermined amount of how many faces these tears get wiped off of. But instead he says he will wipe away tears from off all faces. Now, people cry for a lot of reasons. But here specifically, he is talking about what tears will be wiped away. He says that the tears will be wiped off all faces pertaining to one subject, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Wow.
Let me just quote Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And listen, I got two verses for your one. So I see your verse and I raise you a verse. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. See, I got two verses, you only got one.
But you don't got no scripture.
you better tell people where to go to figure out what scripture is.
Well, if you go back to podcast, Bears, you'll figure out what scriptures are. So we did cover this subject. And no matter if you'd had 40 quotes in all of the books of the New Testament, I still have the only scripture going here. So this is an attempt to quote this verse, but you see how that even the writer of the book of Revelation was so consumed by his own insight that he didn't even quote the scriptures correctly. And to me, this was another very powerful moment. When I went back and actually read this, and it said the Lord God will wipe away tears off all faces. That's the key point. The key point isn't he's going to wipe away all your tears off of some faces. He's going to wipe away some tears off all faces. All faces means all faces. But then we get to hear the good news as to why people are going to stop crying. They're going to stop crying about this last trump. They're going to stop crying about this, about being corruptible. They're going to stop crying about the rebuke of the Lord. Now, the reason that these tears are going to be gone off all faces is because all people are about to receive, according to Isaiah, the cessation of all hostility between God and man.
So the writer of Revelations only quoted half of this verse, because the other half talks about the rebuke. So the whole verse in Isaiah 25 is, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Yes. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth.
The earth.
That seems like all nations.
Exactly.
For the Lord has spoken, and it is off all nations, because back a few verses, it talks about exactly that, all people.
Talked about the veil being over all nations. Mm-hmm. So this is very complete. It's very concise. It's all wrapped up. It all says what it says, and it means what it says. And that's all we got to do, Bears. The only thing I've ever done in this thing called the Gospel Revolution is just read in context and somehow dislodge my brain from thinking what I've been told and think what I'm reading. And that's all we've done today.
And yet Adolf Hitler said, how fortunate for leaders that men don't think. Mm,
exactly. Believe me, if people thought for themselves, there wouldn't be what we know as Christianity on the face of the earth today.
Gospel Revolution.
How does this compare with what Christianity teaches, Michael?
Well, as we've pointed out through all of this, number one, Christianity is waiting on the incorruptible. Christianity teaches that only those in Christ are made alive. They don't accept the fact that those in Christ are the same number as those that were in Adam. So Christianity doesn't teach this at all. Barris, I cannot find one of the 40,000 denominations of Christianity. I cannot find one of them that teaches that the human race is already incorruptible, that the same number in Adam that have been raised from the dead and raised incorruptible and made immortal are the same number that was in Adam. Now, they all say that in Adam, all are man-made sinners. They are unequivocal about that, but they refused to make the natural conversion of that to what is in Christ. And the people who were in Adam were not in Adam by choice. And let me say that the most powerful thing you'll ever know about Jesus Christ is the people that are in Christ are not in Christ by choice either. There would be no need to make a comparison between in Adam and in Christ if one is a choice and one is imputed. There is no comparison if one is by choice and one is imputed. So Christianity doesn't teach this at all. Not one of the 40,000 denominations. Now, we've asked for people to show us, you know, we make this statement over and over. Where do you find one of the 40,000 denominations that teaches this? So then the gold standard that this has to meet up to, and if you will, Barris, go through these with us again, and let's make sure that this teaching on death and resurrection meets the gold standard of Paul's description of the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians.
The four criteria of the gold standard of wisdom, or if you like, it's a bit like a table that you can rest other stuff on and you can build stuff on. The four foundational legs of the gold standard of wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 are these. One, wisdom is the testimony of God that sees us through the cross. You'll find that in verses 1 and 2.
We've passed that one, goodness gracious. Over the moon, Barris. It's a red letter day. And we have gone over the moon with this one. Goodness gracious, is this the testimony of God or what? Is this how God sees us through the cross or what?
Oh, boy. Second leg, the second criteria of the gold standard of wisdom from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is that wisdom is a revelation of righteousness, not a requirement for righteousness. Mm.
This mortal shall have put on immortality. And this corruptible shall have been put on incorruption. If you are incorruptible by your deeds, that means you've got a righteousness that comes by revelation. Wow, powerful.
The third criteria of the gold standard of wisdom is that wisdom is the knowledge of what God has freely given us. You'll find this in verses 9 through 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. Wisdom is the knowledge of what God has freely given us.
Well, and in fact, it speaks of what God has given us in these verses in Corinthians later on. I find it remarkable that he's still talking about what God has given us in when he lays this gold standard in 1 Corinthians 2, that it shows up again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Now, this victory is freely given, and again, this meets the gold standard.
Criteria number four of the gold standard of wisdom is that which gives us the ability to judge all teachings, whether they are spiritual or natural. You'll find that in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
The wisdom of man is cause and effect religion. There is no man's involvement of cause and effect religion in this whatsoever. This is completely the wisdom of God, and by judging all teachings, we're able to judge this teaching to be spiritual and not natural.
And so it is that we must leave you, friends. We love you one and all, and we especially thank all of you who, with your financial support, keep this message of grace and peace going out every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of the gospel, call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone me on area code 234-564-0971 and leave your voicemail. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and we are always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And so it is good. And so it is good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the simply gorgeous Gospel Revolution Studios here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Michael Williams here in stormy Houston, Texas. Oh, I love these storms here. Thank you guys so very much for joining us. This pillar of wisdom that we've brought to you today and on the last PowerCast, you see why we had to divide these up into two. There's just too much about it. In fact, we did a real good job narrowing this down to just two sessions. So I hope you loved it as much as we did doing it. And thank you so much, those of you that have contributed so far to the pledge drive. We really, really do appreciate it. We're doing great things around the planet, so join us. Thank you so much. We love you.
So remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
It's going to be better.
Always is.
I need you, and you need me.